Today I'm with Sarah Wing, who I think I've actually known for a very long time. So I'm going to ask her, where did we first meet, Sarah?
Well, we first met, I think, at Warwick Castle at a charity fundraiser. I'm not sure of the date, but I think it's probably something like summer 2002. Do you agree with that?
I think so. I remember having a child in the big buggy. Can't remember which child it was.
Yeah, well, let's say 2002, which is, yes, a long time ago.
Yeah, a very long time ago. Do you drink tea?
I do drink tea. I have a reputation of being a complete teapot, to be honest. I drink far too many cups of tea a day, probably.
I was going to ask you what your tea... Have you got an estimate on your tea drinking level?
Of how many cups a day? More than eight.
I see. Somebody said to me earlier, oh, I drink loads of tea. I have three or four cups a day. And I'm like, no.
That's not a proper tea drinker.
No, not at all.
Definitely not.
If I only have three or four cups of tea a day, I'm really stuck.
Yeah. No, I mean, eight is definitely more than eight and less than 20.
That's good. And what's your favourite cup of tea?
My favourite is... relatively new to me, actually. The current tea that I'm drinking is Yorkshire decaffeinated, which I adore and carry everywhere with me.
Have you? Yeah, you take it wherever you go.
Yep, definitely. Yes, because I just really have fallen in love with that tea and hence drink it all day.
So do you ever drink Earl Grey or fragrance teas?
Absolutely not. I have had phases of fruit tea, but always revert back.
Always come back to
a proper cup of tea.
Proper tea. Okay. So this is the question which I'm asking everybody. How do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I don't think it's dying. Or actually, I don't think it's dying or sleeping. I think it is reducing. So for a number of reasons. In fact, it is reducing, isn't it? You know, because when I was a child, every child went to Sunday school and probably went on to get confirmed and go to church on a regular basis. I think the number of people who do that, as far as I'm aware, is reducing. It's probably as a result of people now work. Nobody used to work on a Sunday. Shops are open. People play football. All sorts of things happen on Sunday that didn't previously. And also, I think, you know, there's in our population, there's a lot of other religions. So Christianity will naturally reach a level. So I think it's reducing to a level.
That's really interesting. I was saying how David Miller had talked about Christianity as concentrating down in a kind of very scientific way of thinking about it. And I was like, yes, I kind of see where you're getting at. It kind of summarised what lots of other people had said, and similar to what you're saying.
Well, there will be a level, won't there? And concentrating down is quite a good term, actually.
So I gave you a really horribly difficult question about banking. I'm really grateful that you've agreed to take it on. So the horrible question was, how can we help all women in the UK to have proper control of their money? And can we start a women-only bank, or is there something else that we can do? I'll tell you why I wanted to ask this question, because some of the people that I work with are women who don't drive, don't have access to a physical bank, maybe don't always have enough credit on their phone to do online banking.
Yeah.
Or maybe don't have the capacity to do online banking and don't have a lot of experience of managing their money. And particularly with the introduction of universal credit, then people are being expected to manage their money in a different way to the way that they were before. And I worry about it.
Yes.
No, so okay. That's kind of the background to it. Because we've got bank closures,
yes,
in many towns and villages as well. So that's my kind of anxiety background for this question.
Which is probably fair, actually, for certain generations. So I think, you know, when your daughters are grown up, which I'm sure they would say they are now, but when your daughters are grown up, they will absolutely not have an issue in terms of looking after their own money. And I think probably my generation, are probably okay and can look after their money. However, there are, and actually I think moving forward it will be less of an issue. So I do believe that younger people and moving forward this is less of an issue. However, there is an element of the population where, you know, they simply have never looked after the money, and are then left on their own, or even if they have looked after the money, they used to walk to their local branch of their bank, as you say, and it simply doesn't exist anymore.
So your next tricky question about banking was, what one thing could the banking system do which would encourage the public to trust the bankers are doing the right thing?
I think that this is a very interesting one, because until, you know, the banking crisis, we probably all trusted the banks too much. We actually had no idea what, you know, the banks did in the background. We thought they were just at the counter handing out money, you know, and that was all that they did. And then when the banking crisis happened and, you know, some banks nearly collapsed or were taken over, you know, actually it came to light what really happens. And banks should be trusted, but we now understand more about what they do and how we're protected and all that sort of thing. So in terms of day-to-day living and day-to-day banking, what can banks do to make the public or help the public to trust them more? I think in an ideal world they'd have a branch in every town, because people trust buildings. You know, you can walk to your local, we won't mention any names, but you can walk to your local branch of a bank and actually you feel okay. You go in there, you look at someone and you speak to someone. So some banks are trying to continue to have branches. Most of the old banks that we know are closing because it is very expensive, but some are trying to open new branches and that's going very well. But actually maybe we could do something like FaceTime. Mm-hmm. So if you have a vulnerable person who actually doesn't understand what to do with their account or has a question about something, then actually maybe, you know, they could have a FaceTime meeting with someone, because they do see someone. Mm-hmm. They could be identified by that banker quite easily. So I don't know, but maybe that would help. So at the moment it's a faceless online, for someone who's got a problem and is really struggling and they're just able to go online, you know, maybe speaking to someone and actually seeing them would really help them.
I think that's really interesting about the idea about using FaceTime rather than phone, because it's very different sort of interaction when you can see someone's face.
And I think the other thing is that, you know, if you look at the brands that people trust, they possibly use FaceTime. It might be for an IT help desk, but you can probably interact or chat online with them. So I think that would help some people.
But you don't think my idea of having a women-only bank is a runner?
No, I don't. Why would we?
I wonder if people trust women more inherently, I guess, and because they would trust them not to be foolish with the investments. Now, this might be terrible sexual stereotyping on my part.
It could be fair. I think that certain individuals will definitely trust women more, and I absolutely don't disagree with that. But actually, when it comes to it, if a lady is in a senior position in a bank with the same responsibilities that a man has, she'll probably make the same decisions. So we wouldn't like it if there was a men-only bank, would we?
No, but I've got friends that would argue that that's been the case for a long time.
Okay, that's fair. Yes, very fair. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess because, particularly, I've been involved in Mothers Union, and in other countries, the women in particular communities very much take control of the finances, and they're entrusted with the money in a way which the men are not. And
that's, that's interesting.
And so, actually, I think in the developing countries, that the women have often a more upfront role in things like microfinance. I don't really know enough about it, but I just, it intrigues me because I think there are some, I think there are some really important issues about banking that we're not necessarily facing in a similar way to maybe that we faced them 150 years ago. That some people don't have access to good banking.
No, and that, and I think that's right. I think they don't. And in the developing worlds, actually, they are, in the developing world, they are getting people access, aren't they, by the microfinance. But I'd go and work there if there was a women-only bank.
That hasn't helped, Sarah.
No, I don't think we need one.
So I was going to ask you about when you got married. So, because you got married, I can't believe it's, is it 5 years ago? You got married 5 years ago. So did you get married in church? And what was your marriage wedding like?
So we didn't. We both had been married previously. So whilst we didn't go and ask our local vicar if he would marry us, I think we believed that wouldn't happen. So we very much liked the idea of just having a very... serious wedding. I can't think of the word, the right word really, but anyway, so we got married in a hotel, in a wedding venue, and it felt, I can't really think of a good word to describe it, but it felt like a very reverend service. It felt like a service which was absolutely what I personally wanted out of the day. So we, my mother gave me away, you know, we walked up an aisle, we said our vows and had some beautiful music, and it felt very somber, is not really the word, but it just felt very serious, which it should.
Absolutely.
And that was the service. And then when we walked out of the, I was about to say out of the church, but when we walked out of the service, we had Amore, which is a very jolly tune, and we skipped down the aisle.
That sounds great.
So that's, yeah, I think that it was as reverend or as serious as it, as we wanted it to be.
Excellent. That was some, that's really good. So the last question, the roundup question, is what's your favourite thing that begins with T?
Well, given this podcast, I probably could say cup of tea, but the two most common things in my life are actually the drink of tea, but probably more importantly, and something that if I don't have it on a daily basis, so Saturdays aren't good, I'm very disappointed, the Archers, in fact. So if you can have tea for the, it would be the Archers.
The Archers. So the person who previously chose the Archers was the Reverend Dr. Richard Clutterbuck. So you're in good company.
Yes, exactly.
There. So what is it about the Archers that you like so much?
So literally, I honestly listen to it every day. So as you may know, it's on for 6 days. So Saturdays are hugely disappointing. But anyway, I like the characters. Well, I don't like all of the characters. I like the fact that you don't see the characters. So if we were watching the programme on television, you know, you would see them. But you can use your imagination. Mm-hmm. As to what they look like and or how they are, and you just get to know the characters, and you know, the programme does cover current issues. There's been all sorts of things, and I just love it.
I sometimes, when I, if I have to drive between the two churches on a Sunday morning, I sometimes hear the middle of the omnibus, which is possibly the most frustrating thing to hear.
Yes.
In the week. Because I don't listen to it very much. I've listened to it a bit more when I've been travelling during my sabbatical.
Yes.
And I guess I used to listen to it a bit more.
It's just, well, it's enthralling, actually. I mean, it's actually had more press coverage, I think, in the last couple of years, because it's covered various issues than it had, you know, more people have heard of it than they would have done 10 years ago, I think.
It's quite interesting. Some of the storylines have been very interesting recently, and they've been, I think they've been really good.
Yeah, no, they have. They've covered all sorts of issues very well.
And a very kind of interesting foray into the criminal justice system.
Yes.
Which I think was probably a revelation for all sorts of people.
Well, no, that was Well, brilliant. Actually, yes, the Rob Titchener issue.
That's great. So I'm going to say thank you very much for speaking to me today,
you.
Sarah. It's been so lovely to see you after, because it's been a while.
It
so
has
it's been
a while.
Really great to see you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.